If you would, remain standing for the reading of God's holy word and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I will begin reading in verse 5. And so John Dean did our introduction on prayer, and I was planning on only spending 2 weeks in this. I have decided we will spend much, much, much longer in this section as the Lord teaches us how to pray. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others your trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others your trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Praise God for His holy word. Please be seated. Just four words in Matthew 6, verse 5 are very insightful as well as convicting for us as God's children. And when you pray. Insightful because the Lord expects His children to pray. He is not expressing wishful thinking with these words. I hope that they will make time to pray, but the reality that His children are to pray. Convicting because you and I need to recognize that we are not autonomous creatures. We are not self-sufficient. We are fully dependent upon the Lord, and we often fail to rely upon the Lord in prayer. In fact, prayer for many has nothing to do with who God is, with the adoration and praise of God. The confessing of our sins before the Lord, or our thankfulness for God for everything. For many, prayer has turned into a list of requests that ends and results in us viewing God like a divine Santa Claus, just telling Him our wishes for a more comfortable life. Is your daily prayer life about getting things from God and not God Himself? Just like giving here, Jesus assumes in this sermon that His children will pray. And whatever the Lord assumes, we need to understand that we need. Our audience is primary here. And the Lord knows if our audience in prayer or in giving is Him or whoever is around. Are we giving for the purpose of being seen by others? Or are we giving to please the Lord? Are we praying to be seen by others? Or are we praying to please the Lord? When one studies the life of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, a truth that bleeds from the Scriptures is that Jesus withdrew from His disciples and the crowds to pray. He didn't seek an earthly audience to pray. Here's just a few examples. Luke 5, 13 through 16. And Jesus stretched out His hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him, and He charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourselves to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now, even more, the report about Him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear Him and to be healed of their infirmities, but he would withdraw to desolate places to pray. Mark 1, verse 35, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Matthew 14, 22, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When Jesus prayed, his audience was the Father. Hypocrites, they seek a crowd, which is their only reward, while the faithful seek the Lord and only him in prayer. Our attitude, our motivation, our heart is primary as we give, as we pray, and as we fast. Our heart is primary in worship and not our outward appearance. In fact, our heart, the foundation of what we are doing, our purpose, if it is not the glory of God, it is absolute vanity. If what we are saying, if what we are doing is not about the worship of the Lord, our chief end is not the glory of God. Our chief end is sin. Jesus is teaching his followers in this Sermon on the Mount how they are to live before him, how they are to worship him. And we must not settle for the outward praise of others based upon our appearance, because the Lord looks to the heart and he knows our heart. John Dean asked a very simple and very pointed question last week. Do you pray? Now, if you just approach the Lord with your request, I don't believe that you can answer this question with a faithful yes. If we fail to acknowledge the Lord, having no reverence for him whatsoever, not thinking about his attributes, who he is, not thankful for him and his perfect gifts that he gives, I don't believe that we can say that we are a faithfully praying people. These verses, they are very familiar to many, but please continue to examine yourself today. Continue to ask yourself, do I pray, ... as Jesus teaches us to pray? Prayer is about the glory of God. It's about making much of him. If prayer was about making much of ourselves, we don't need to pray to do that. Prayer is a great grace that is to our benefit, communing with God in this fallen world so that we will please him. God's word sets our mind upon Christ. Absolutely. Amen. But we must not fail in coming before him and talking to him in prayer. Our audience is the Lord when we pray. And according to Matthew 6, verse 7, we are not to heap up empty phrases for the purpose of being heard by others. Prayer is to be a lifestyle. It is to be a habit. It is to be a pattern for all of God's children. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 17. Rejoice always. Pray without what? Ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We don't pray for others to hear us, and we don't lift up empty, thoughtless words. Our hearts need to be connected to what we are saying, for our prayers are to involve our minds and not just repetitive thoughtlessness. Matthew 6, 9 and 10, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So point number one is prayer is speaking to the Lord. We say, well, that seems quite obvious. Yes, but I think there are many times in which you and I come before the Lord. We're talking, but we are not talking to him. Our prayers are to begin with reverence and adoration. We are not speaking casually with a coworker. I'm not talking to my spouse. We are not in a meeting with other men and women. We are speaking to the one true living God. This changes everything. It should. It should change everything. We are speaking to our Heavenly Father. We are not speaking to angels, to saints, to kings, or to presidents. We're speaking to the Creator of all things, the life-giver of all things, the sustainer of all things, the one who has always existed. We are speaking to the author of salvation, the one who is abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, the one who is ruling over creation. This great God is the one who hears us when we pray. The God who is thrice holy, who is gracious and merciful, the one who is just and wrathful, the one who must punish sin. And yet for those who are in Christ, they are fully forgiven, and we have the great privilege of speaking to Him. Those who are saved can speak to the Lord. He sees, He listens, and He cares. Our focus in prayer is to be upon the Lord, for it is Him to whom we are speaking. Our Father is in heaven, and yet He is near. He is not a distant God, but very accessible, and wants us to speak with Him. It's as if the Scriptures are saying, not only do I expect you as God's children to speak to me, I also want you to understand this expectation. I am never, ever, ever, ever too busy to listen to you. We are talking to the Lord. He is our audience. Therefore, adoration and reverence is to be present. Here at this church, we stand for the reading of God's holy word. Why do we do this? We do this out of reverence for who God is and for what He has breathed out. This same adoration, this same reverence is needed when we are talking to the Lord in prayer. Adoration, the act of worship, the paying reverence and obedience to God. Reverence, honor, respect, regard, and awe for the Lord. I have found myself being disgusted with coming before the Lord before I eat a meal, and I just flush out something really fast so I can get to eating the food. How dare I come before the Lord with a jumble mess? Hebrews 12, therefore let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. We are speaking to a holy God. He is a cut above us. He is not like us. There is separateness without darkness and without sin. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We are to keep in mind who God is as well as who we are. Now, before I say these words, I want them to sink in. God is more important than you are. God is more important than we are. Well, what's the natural conclusion after saying that? This life is not about you. This life is not about me. Our chief end is not our happiness or our comfort. We are His creation, separated from God by sin, brought to God through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Now we are sinners who are privileged to approach the Lord in prayer and to be heard by God. Prayer is speaking to the Lord. Adoration and reverence is required if our prayers are to be acceptable to Him. Because we can pray and our prayers not be acceptable. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. These words are mentioned again in the Gospel of Luke. Luke verse 1. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. Notice what Luke adds. One of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. The disciples of Jesus, those who walked with Jesus, who saw the life of Jesus, who witnessed the miracles of Jesus, heard the teachings of Jesus, witnessed his devotion to prayer, and they said to him, "Master, teach us to pray." And Jesus heard the request, and he taught them. Now, there are many, many great books written on prayer. I myself enjoy reading The Valley of Vision. But we must first look to the divine words of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus began with the words, "Pray then like this." More than a liturgy, this is a model or guide for how we as God's children are to pray. If this was just a liturgy, Jesus would have said, "Pray this." But his words are, "Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." R.C. Sproul said, "The most important thing Jesus says we ought to pray for is that the name of his Father be regarded as holy." That prayer is about the Lord being honored for his holiness. That we are to ask that he be regarded as holy, be honored as holy in our life. Is the holiness of God, is the worship of God the most important part of your prayers? Or do you just have an introduction that is brief so you can get to the list of your request? Is the holiness of God even included in your prayers? Are you praying that God is honored as holy in your life as well as the lives of others? How about the lives of those in our home? The lives of family members, the lives of our neighbors, the lives of our close friends, our best friends, the lives of the fellow students in our classrooms, the lives of those we work with. How about the lives of those in this church, that these lives would glorify the Lord? Prayer is speaking to the Lord. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We find here that prayer is for those who belong to God the Father, who is in heaven. Prayers for those who are saved, who have been redeemed. Prayers for those who acknowledge God as holy. That God has created all of humanity, but those whom he has called to himself are his children, and his children can pray. There is no neutrality with God. He is your father, or Satan is your father. John 8:41. "You are doing the works your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God." And Jesus said to him, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not to do my own accord, but him who sent me. Why do you not understand what I say?" That's a great question. Why do you not understand what I say? It's because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. And your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Prayer is speaking to the Lord. It is reserved for his children, and we are to ask his name to be honored as holy. Point number two, prayer involves the Lord's kingdom and the Lord's will. Prayer involves the Lord's kingdom and the Lord's will. Pray then like this: "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So how convicting is this to you just in the natural reading of this? Are your prayers primarily about your kingdom and your will? Do you approach the Lord with only time for your request? Has prayer actually turned into a drive-through window of unloading what you want and walking away with no communion with him? Prayer is about God being honored as holy in your life and the life of others. And prayer is about his kingdom. John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus, and he opened by declaring these words, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Interesting enough, the words of Jesus Christ when he began his ministry are the exact same words: "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The bride of Christ is to be all about the kingdom of Christ. In the Gospel of Matthew alone, the words "the kingdom" are spoken of 52 times. Here are just a few examples. Matthew 5, verse 3, which we've already covered. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. You're finding all throughout the Gospel of Matthew that this life, it is not about you. This life is about the Lord, and this life is about His kingdom. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's not that you're waiting for God to give you much, much, much more from Him. It's that when you're seeking God and His kingdom, you realize you have everything that you need. Matthew 18, at that time His disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And let us just be honest right here. Sometimes we're prideful and we think the exact same thing. And calling to Him a child, He put them in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Jesus spoke about the kingdom of heaven so often because our life and our prayers are to be about the kingdom of heaven. This past week, I came across a radio broadcast of Paul Harvey that aired in 1965. And if you ask me how I came across that, I have no idea. He called it, "If I Were the Devil, a Warning to America." And by reminder, this came out in 1965. They had good cars that year. Now, I am unaware of Mr. Harvey's spiritual background, but many of his words in the broadcast were true. And concerning prayer, he said this, "If I were the devil, I would teach people to pray, 'Our Father, which art in Washington.'" And yet, when we turn to the Scriptures, we find that God's people are to fill their life with Him to be about His kingdom and not the decaying kingdoms of this world. As a born-again creature, God has brought us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His beloved Son. We sang about that this morning. Colossians 1, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. 1 Peter 2, 9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So first and foremost, we are a citizen of God's kingdom, a holy nation. There's a reason why in this church we don't have the United States of America flag in here. There's a reason why we don't have the Texas flag in here. First and foremost, we are a citizen of God's kingdom. Our birth nation, your political party, it is not to be primary in your life, or you have lowered God to a position that is not acceptable to God in worship. Now, the United States is important. I will not back down from that, but so are the other 194 countries. And one day, the Lord knows when, these countries will cease to exist and there will only be God's kingdom. Pray then like this, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You notice, heaven is not about earth. Earth is to be about heaven. If we desire for God's kingdom to come on this earth, if we desire His perfect will to be done in this life, we will, number one, we will pray for it, as Jesus teaches us here in Matthew 6. And number two, we will keep the commands of God and faithfully serve God as an obedient child of His forever kingdom. People who don't pray about God's kingdom, believe me, you're not living for it. And if you're not keeping the commands of God, you don't think much about the kingdom of God. We are to pray for God's will to be done. This is not speaking of God's sovereign or providential will. That is always occurring. We are to pray for His will to be done in that we want His commands to be kept by us. Jesus put it this way in John 14, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." John Calvin said, it is the task of the church to make the invisible kingdom visible. But how do we bear witness to the reality of a kingdom that already exists? We live in such a way as to bear witness to the reality of the kingship of Christ at work within our family, in our school, and with our checkbook, because God in Christ is king over every one of these spheres of our life. The only way the kingdom of God is going to be manifest in this world before Christ comes is if we manifest it in our lives. You know, in heaven there is no sin. God's will is being done by all of His creatures without fail, and we are to pray for this to happen on this earth. And I hope you understand that no political party can do that. Prayer can do that. God's children are to pray. They are to pray for the Lord's kingdom to come. They are to pray for His will to be done. James Montgomery Boyce provides us some words of caution. He says, many people think of prayer as something that brings God into line with their own desires instead of something that brings them into line with His will. We need prayer because we need to be reminded over and over and over again that we are not God. I've been reading chronologically through the Old Testament. I am overwhelmingly amazed not only that I have missed this so much in the past and not noticed it or I have forgotten it, that over and over again you see the grumbling of God's people time and time and time and time again, even to the point of grumbling in which say, man, I wish we were still in slavery. I wish we were still in Egypt. At least we had food there that we wanted to eat, that we could actually eat, and they forgot everything. I have heard many people declare, I don't pray, I'm too busy. I tried praying, I didn't get what I wanted. Why bother? When our view of prayer is wrong, it is not surprising that the majority don't care about prayer meetings. Our prayers, they are not about changing God. He does not change. Malachi 3, verse 6. Our prayer is about changing us more into the image of Christ, doing His perfect will. The problem is that God's people don't want to look more like Jesus. If our prayers are just populated with things that we want, we are not focused on living to please the Lord. Because what if your present circumstance is exactly what God wants, so you will be conformed more into the image of Christ? If you very rarely pray, there is a high probability that your life has very little to do with the Lord and His kingdom. Prayerlessness reveals a dependence upon self, not a dependence upon the Lord. As God's people, we must not neglect the great grace and duty of prayer. Our prayers begin with Him, His attributes, His honor, His holiness, and His will. Prayer is speaking to the Lord. Prayer involves the Lord's kingdom and the Lord's will. And point three, our prayers are to be made visible in our life. Our prayers are to be made visible in our life. Meaning our prayers, our desires for God being honored as holy, His kingdom coming, His will being done, it should not stop when we say the word amen. Like when you say the word amen and you're done praying, that is absolutely fine. But you better go back to the one that you were talking to so that you will live a life that pleases Lord according to your prayers. As the Lord teaches us to pray, our prayers are to overflow into our daily life. Pray without ceasing. How does that happen? Does that mean we have to have our eyes closed? Well, I don't think that's in the Scriptures. Does that mean that we are to constantly be in prayer and we don't talk to other people? No, it's having the attitude of prayer, of always saying like the Reformers did, did I greet you in prayer? The Puritans would say that. They would walk up and they would say, did I greet you in prayer? Were you praying? Were you speaking to the Lord? Our prayers, they are to continue. When we follow God's Word, when we keep the commands of God, wanting, desiring, and yearning for His kingdom to come and His will to be done in our life, that means we are to live according to the life in which God has revealed in His holy word how we are to live. R.C. Sproul, he said this, We would be dreadfully hypocritical if we were to pray that God's name be hallowed, that His kingdom come, and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven, if we are really thinking, "But not in my life." You see, God knows our hearts, and our hearts are to be 100% all in. To pray for God's kingdom to come and His will to be done on this earth is to pray for this activity to occur in your life and my life. To pray as God teaches us to pray is to ask God for sanctification, because there is still work to be done in us. There is still work to be done in our house. There is still work to be done in this church. There is still work to be done in our country. There is still work to be done in this world, because God is still growing His kingdom. The kingdom of God is still growing because God is not done building it. God's kingdom is growing, and by God's grace, this church is a tiny example of that growth. To pray these words is to ask the Lord, "Lord, would You do a work in me that would grow me and sanctify me, conform me more into the image of Jesus Christ?" To pray these words is to ask the Lord, "Lord, may I live for You. May I honestly be a man, a woman, a child after Your heart that is here doing Your will and not mine." To pray these words is to be devoted to knowing God, to knowing His Word, to knowing His will, to knowing His commands. There has been a thought that has long penetrated the church saying, "I don't know what the commands of God are, but I know that I keep them." No, you don't. If you don't know what the commands of God are, you have no idea if you're keeping them. To pray these words is to hate sin, is to delight in the law of God, is to ask that your life be not about you, because you know in many areas it is, but your life fully and entirely, 100% all in, be about the Lord. Pray then like this: "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Prayer is speaking to the Lord. Prayer involves the Lord's kingdom, the Lord's will, and our prayers are to be made visible in our life. Now, today's verses, they are very instructive. We are asking the Lord, "Lord, would You mature us as a church?" This is what I've been praying. "Lord, would You use the teaching of Your holy word through this series to mature us as a church?" I'm asking you, will you pray with me in that? I'm not asking you to quickly say yes. I'm asking you to actually pray that. To pray that throughout the week. Will you ask the Lord to make us men and women who pray? Will you ask the Lord to align our life with His Word? Here's some closing words by faithful men concerning that of prayer. Oswald Chambers: "We tend to use prayer as a last resort, but God wants it to be our first line of defense. We pray when there's nothing else we can do, but God wants us to pray before we do anything at all. Most of us would prefer, however, to spend our time doing something that will get immediate results. We don't want to wait for God to resolve matters in His good time, because His idea of good time is seldom in sync with ours," which is exactly why we need to pray. Martin Luther: "As it is the busyness of tailors to make clothes and of cobblers to mend shoes, so it is the business of Christians to pray." J.C. Ryle said, "Prayer is the most important subject in practical religion. All other subjects are second to it. Reading the Bible, keeping the Sabbath, hearing sermons, attending public worship, going to the Lord's table. All these are very weighty matters, but none of them is important as private prayer. The Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon. He's my favorite, by the way. He said, "I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach." R.C. Sproul declared, "People who don't believe that prayer matters or that prayer works are people who simply don't pray." I agree. Andrew Murray said, "Without prayer, even though there may be an increased interest in missions, more work for them, better success in organization and greater influence, the real growth of the spiritual life and the love of Christ in the people may yet be very small." George Mueller, if you've never read his autobiography, it's wonderful. "Public prayer will never make up for closet communion." Public prayer will never make up for closet communion. As God's people, we dare not be a people who are dependent upon fast, easy, quick results in which there may actually be no spiritual fruit. Prayer is speaking to the Lord. Prayer involves the Lord's kingdom. Prayer involves the Lord's will. And our prayers are to be made visible in our life, because we don't end with the word amen. We continue. The things that we're praying about concerning what God has told us to pray about are to flow into our life because we're living a life of obedience. So Christian, with this foundation and moving forward, I'll ask the question that you were asked last week. Do you pray? There are many families represented here today, many homes, one local church that is united to God's kingdom by the blood of Christ. Do you pray? What an opportunity that we have today to talk about the words of Christ, to examine our own life, to repent of our sins in which the Lord has brought through the preaching of His Word, and to spend time in prayer. What an opportunity it is to know that the God of all creation, the One who has made all things, the One who is supreme, and no one is higher than Him, has said, "Come to Me. Pray. Pray without ceasing. I am never too busy for you." We have the great privilege of coming before the Lord and praying. May the Lord be honored as holy this week in my life and in your life. Let us as God's people be men, women, children, youth who pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, Father, we dare not enter this place without praying throughout the week. Father, Lord, I pray that in my life and the life of those who are listening, Lord, we would be a people who are overwhelmed with who You are, because we are coming before You in prayer. We are seeking You to be honored as holy. We are seeking Your will. We are seeking Your kingdom to come on this earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we know that You're going to do that. We know that the only kingdom that's going to last is going to be Yours. Lord, but help us as Your people to not waste our life spending it on ours. Help us as Your people to come before You as needy beggars, longing for what You have, because it is everything. If we cannot say it right now, Lord, I pray that we can say it in the near future. Lord, teach me to pray. Teach us to be Your children who come before You and are satisfied with You alone. Teach us to pray Your will, to pray about Your holiness, to pray about Your kingdom, Help us to be dependent upon you in difficult times and trials. And as we are struggling with sin, help us to come before you and to find satisfaction, to find assurance of forgiveness of our sins. Lord, help us to be a thankful people who are overwhelmed with what you continue to do with the people who are unworthy. Lord, teach us to pray. We ask this not in our name. We don't come before you listing all these things because we are important. We come before you as your children in the name of Christ Jesus. And we pray all this in his name. Amen.